That's really a great point, and I'm glad that you brought up Secretary Clinton's talk, because I actually attended that very discussion, and I found it to be much more balanced than I expected it would be.
Yeah, I was at the same talk as well.
Yeah, okay, great. So, while I expected a bit more of the utopian sort of over-the-top kind of prognostications that we've seen from policymakers and politicians, I thought she actually had a pretty good understanding of the fact that, that technology in and of itself, specifically internet technologies or mobile technologies, are not themselves the answer, and that they can actually be used for counterproductive means.
Do you see any change in the behavior of the American government, of policymakers?
No, I don't think I have. I think going back, of course, the 2009 example of Iran is a good one, and also thinking about the case of Google in China just about a year ago, it seems to me that despite perhaps their best intentions, that policymakers have sort of let these problems kind of figure themselves out. I think they're a little bit reluctant to enter the fold because perhaps there's a sense that maybe they don't have the requisite expertise to oversee some of these things. But I think at their heart, I think that there's an understanding that it is very important to keep these networks free and viable for the sorts of positive changes that we might see. But I don't think that we've seen a lot of substantive efforts to ensure that thus far.
For people who haven't had the benefit of reading your paper yet, can you explain a little bit of the methodology of how you went about doing it, kind of what data you looked at, what metrics you looked at, and if that methodology is changing now for your new research for this period of 2003 to the present, or as close to the present as you can get?
Yeah, the key variable in this research is the national level democracy measure, which is captured and reported by the Polity 4 project, which has been producing a metric for each country or for almost every country around the world going back for decades now. What we're talking about is things like checks and balances within the governmental system that are not just understood, but that are formalized into some sort of doctrine or process. They arrive at what they call an autocracy score, which is minus 10, and that ranges to a democracy score of plus 10. So, which is to say, the range of this democracy level is from minus 10, which is a perfectly sort of autocratic country, to plus 10, which is what they would consider a fully democratic country. So by looking at these distribution of scores, and I go back from 1946 to 2003 to try to conceptualize or capture the modern era, if we look at this distribution of democracy levels for a given country, one of the examples I point out is Mexico. We can see the rises and the falls, things that have happened in the duration of this time frame. And based on what we see from, in my case, 1946 to 1993, we can look at that distribution of figures and we can make some statistical predictions about what should happen from, in this case, 1994 to 2003. So testing this hypothetical, right, we look at a time frame, and 1993 is highlighted in the paper because that's, of course, when the Mosaic web browser was introduced and sort of catalyzed graphical user interface, internet browsing as we now know it with browsers like Internet Explorer or Firefox or Safari or what have you. But so had we not seen this, we can then look at, well, our statistical model expected, let's say, Mexico to be so democratic in 1994. It expected Indonesia to be so democratic in 1999. It expected Croatia to be so democratic in across all of these countries. And then what we can do is we can go back and we can look at the actual democracy level because, of course, now this time has passed. And then we can make some arguments to see, well, let's say Mexico appears to be more democratic from 1994 through 2003 than we could have expected it statistically. Now we can begin to investigate, well, why might that have been the case? What might have happened there that would help explain that drastic national level democratic shift? And so in the same way that we could go back and say, using the currency example, we could go back and we could look at, well, the price of the euro or the value of the euro, let's say, peaked over this time period. Well, we can go back beyond what we would have expected. We can go back and then we can examine, well, was there an event that or may have precipitated that? And so my question is, in the cases where we see national level democracy scores being greater than those that we could expect statistically, can we then go back and look at and see if the internet played any role in perhaps assisting or contributing or indeed acting as a causal mechanism in some way in that process?
But as you know, having studied statistics, I'm sure, causation is not the same as correlation. So, I mean, surely, I guess what I'm wondering is, how do you know that the internet was the thing that made that democracy score go up?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this technique is useful at, only insofar as being a statistical tool, right? We can't just look at the numbers and say, okay, in my case, we had three countries that were reliably above the predicted level, and one, Belarus, that was actually less than the predicted democracy level. So what we have to do then is to look at the actual events and the occurrences and understand these countries from a more historical sort of perspective, right? We can't just see the figures and then assume, well, it must be the internet. We have to look at the other prevailing conditions that were contributing not only to the rise of the internet, but also to what was happening politically and socially in that country. And of course, this goes on by a country-by-country basis.
Do you hope that, your research and perhaps your colleagues around the world who are conducting similar research, would you like to have, do you feel like you have, are you aiming to have an impact on this discussion?
I mean, at the core of, you know, what we do here, you know, at the Erasmus University, but of course at research institutions around the world, is to try to look at, you know, social scientific phenomenon from a perspective that's not influenced by lobbying influences, let's say, or political agendas. You know, and at our very best, you know, we can hope that our research will have some impact and some influence on policy decisions that are being made. It's not useful to hinge policy decisions on efforts that we know now are unlikely to occur. And I think there's a big debate going on right now between the idea that, okay, the Web 2.0 sort of technologies will change political processes in a way that we haven't seen before. And of course, in the United States, this is very commonly referred to with the 2008 election. But we also need to keep in mind that it's not just the technology. As important as the technology is, and as important as it is for us to safeguard those freedoms those online spaces, we also need to understand that it's what people have to say in those spaces. And it's also what contributions they make.